Well, I think it's a small bit of good news. It's an important bit of good news because psychosis risk disorder or attenuated psychosis syndrome was going to be a disaster. There was a risk that people who were never going to be psychotic were going to be treated as if they were going to go on and become psychotic. There was a risk that they were going to be placed unnecessarily on antipsychotics. And there was a risk that they were going to be tagged with stigmatizing labels. So it's fantastic that it's bitten the dust. It's part of a broader push to just classify more and more people as being mentally ill, and that's something we need to be wary of.
What about the idea that if psychosis can be identified early, or a predilection to psychosis can be identified early, then people can be treated early?
Yeah, well, it can't. That's the problem. I mean, even the most optimistic of proponents acknowledge that about a third of people may go on who are identified may go on to become psychotic. Critics reckon that's less than 10%. So the vast majority of people who are identified as being at risk don't go on and become psychotic.
Is this the end of it, or could it come back? I mean, it seems that there are people that still want to look at it, given what they say is the research that's been conducted over two decades.
Well, it's been conducted over two decades. They haven't been successful in proving the merits of their case. It's unlikely that another two decades is going to change any of that. Now, I think they need to go on and accept that they experimented, they tried, and the experiment was unsuccessful, or it was successful in showing that the approach doesn't work.
Is there anything else in or that's proposed for inclusion in DSM-5 that you're concerned about?
Look, there's a lot that I'm concerned about. We've had a victory with psychosis risk disorder. We've had a minor victory in rolling back some of the new proposed criteria for ADHD that would have made the already absurd diagnostic criteria even worse. But there's a lot of other things that are proposed in DSM-5 that need to be knocked on the head. There's a proposal for disruptive mood dysregulation disorder, which is a proposal that's been pushed in response to concerns about the over-prescribing for juvenile bipolar disorder in America. Juvenile bipolar disorder is not even an officially recognised disorder, but because some high-profile paid advocates of the pharmaceutical industry have pushed it, a lot of kids have ended up being medicated on it. Now, there's a backlash to that. So instead of opposing the move in that direction, they've actually proposed a slightly less offensive diagnosis to replace it. So, you know, I'm very concerned that in all sorts of ways, the barriers towards diagnosing increasing numbers of people and increasing numbers of children as being mentally ill constantly being pushed down. And that's what the DSM-5 is doing, and it needs to be resisted.
Is there evidence that there is an increase in children with mental illness, or is there an increase in diagnosis?
Well, there's certainly an increase in diagnosis, and there's a certainly increase in the level of medication, in the amounts of children that are being put on medication. Now, you know, I don't know that there are any underlying changes. I don't think children are that different now to what they were 50 years ago. Unfortunately, I think we've just adopted an increasingly medicalised model, an increasingly Americanised approach to mental health, where anything that's outside the norm, anything that doesn't fit into a very narrow range of behaviours is increasingly classified as mental disease.
Now, DMDD, disruptive mood dysregulation disorder, is that considered or would be considered a precursor to juvenile bipolar?
It's actually been proposed as an alternative diagnosis, and I think it's, you know, some people argue that it's being proposed with the best of intentions, in other words, to stop people being diagnosed with juvenile bipolar disorder. But the real danger is it's just another category which is even broader in its diagnostic criteria, that will just see children who are throw temper tantrums and are irritable as being diagnosed with a psychiatric disorder. And once you get a label, once you get these psychiatric disorders labels, it invites a pharmaceutical intervention. So the very thing that it's supposedly designed to protect or prevent could occur as a result. And that's certainly the concern of Dr. Alan Francis, the chairperson of the DSM-4, the last incarnation or the current incarnation of the American Psychiatric Association's Bible of Psychiatry, if you like. He is very concerned that the proposal to put disruptive mood dysregulation disorder may in fact see more children labelled and then more children medicated, and that's a concern that I share.
Does diagnosis necessarily lead to medication? It would seem that it's more pronounced. It's a more pronounced issue in the USA than it is in Australia.
Certainly, it hasn't. We haven't had the same rash of juvenile bipolar disorder prescribing in Australia, but we have the potential to do that. And what happens is that it's the easiest and quickest response, and it doesn't matter what the mental illness is. If you want to change behaviour, nothing alters behaviour faster than behaviour-altering drugs. So there's this temptation, this great temptation. Oh, here's a diagnosis. We want to address that problem. Here's a quick and easy solution. So diagnoses often invite pharmaceutical interventions. We've had that experience in Australia with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, whereby the diagnosis invites the quick and easy treatment without actually bearing down into the circumstances of each individual child. And that's the danger. Ever increasing numbers of alternative diagnoses is good news for the pharmaceutical industry, but not good news for children and their families.